Iowa this week, especially hard-hit Greenfield near Des Moines. 9 killed after a strong gust of wind toppled a stage at a campaign rally in northern Mexico. 44 million Americans expected to travel at least 50 miles from home this Memorial Day weekend. The Justice Department filing a lawsuit against Ticketmaster parent company Live Nation, saying it holds a monopoly on the ticket-selling market.
Live Nation President Joe Berchtold this week said the company has been seeking common ground with the Justice Department. He addressed Live Nation's use of exclusive contracts, which require a venue to use Ticketmaster for a certain number of years. Berchtold saying the company has no issues with any venue that says they want to be non-exclusive. But he insisted many venues prefer using only one ticketing service to streamline their operations.
That's ABC's Andrea Fujii. Taiwan scrambling jets as the Chinese military conducts military exercises around the island. This is ABC News. ADHD is on the rise. Doctors now say 1 in 9 kids across the country has been diagnosed with a disorder. The CDC says a total number of cases now tops 7 million, up 1 million in 6 years. Set to take flight, an airline that's literally gone to the dogs.
A charter flight leaves this afternoon from New York's Westchester Airport, bound for LA's Van Nuys Airport. But only about half on board may know they're making history. They'll be on the inaugural flight of Bark Air, which calls itself the world's first airline for dogs, offering white paw service with custom beds, along with chewies and dog-friendly beverages of choice. You won't pay kibble for this trip, though. A one-way ticket for a dog and their human is $6,000. Daria Albinger, ABC News, New York.
And our cars may soon start warning us if we're speeding. A bill in California would require new cars to beep at us if we're going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. It would affect all new cars made or sold in the state starting in 2032. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience. No, of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A U.S. House committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. Parents of children harmed by social media say greater protections are badly needed and long overdue. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
It's going to be very upsetting to the parents, to so many people in this country who want to see this happen. They want to see big tech regulated. They don't want to see kids dying every day.
Tech companies are fighting sweeping change, citing free speech rights. All over Wisconsin, this year's Click It or Ticket campaign is underway. Memorial Day weekend is our unofficial start of summer, and every year, agencies and departments increase patrols around this time. All drivers and passengers are required by Wisconsin law to wear seatbelts while they travel. Click It or Ticket runs through June 2nd. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media.
Giannis named to the All-NBA team. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the 6th straight time, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been named to the All-NBA first team. He became the first player this year in NBA history to average 30 points a game while shooting 60% from the field. Baseball last night in Miami, the Brewers losing 1-0 to the Marlins. The crew headed to Boston today to open a series against the Red Sox tomorrow night. NFL Packers' first week of OTA practices wrapping up. Two players now recovering from surgery after suffering torn pectoral muscles. muscles while lifting in the team's weight facility, including tight end Tucker Kraft and starting right tackle Zach Tom. Their first-round draft pick rookie Josh Morgan has been lining up at right tackle in place of Zach Tom. I asked Matt LaFleur about Tom's status.
Yeah, that was a pec injury and, you know, just an unfortunate coincidence. But again, no long-term concern. He will be a guy that we anticipate back for camp.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 77 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear this evening. Scattered thunderstorms after midnight. Our low 56 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. A little breezy, too. Our high tomorrow near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Earl Ingram.
Join me Thursday morning at 9 a.m. We'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar to answer your questions. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, May 23rd, 2024. It's another beautiful, I mean beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, or through social media video feeds or by podcast. Love to have you here for this Thursday morning. I got a question for you. Did anyone possibly predict Nikki Haley was going to weasel out and say that she's going to vote for Donald Trump after everything else she had done and said during the... Oh, wait. You're all raising your hands. You all wrote... Okay, I guess we did see it coming. That's one of the news headlines coming up along the way. But let me ask you as well, did you see that full moon coming up last night? And then we got a real treat up here on the lake. We got the full moon rising over the lake last night. And then this morning, a rare morning rainbow as some rain has moved off to the south here. I looked out the window and there was a rainbow out to the west. Kind of rare, kind of very pretty with all the streaks of rain coming down to the south of us. Just like I said, it's another beautiful day here up north. We're so fortunate to be here. Feel free to join the show along the way at 855-75-CIVIC. If you do that, the first person you might talk to is this guy here, Greg Bach. He's in Waukesha. He screens those calls and he puts folks on air if they call in. Or you can reach us through Facebook directly. The comments go right there. Like Roger, who says, Greg, I watched the YouTube video of Pat's tornado broadcast from 1982. That same year, I was a high school junior with shaggy hair looking like Danny Noonan in Caddyshack. It's now spreading. This is now like tuberculosis, this video of me from age 18.
And it's killed
sure you did that
more,
to yourself, Roger.
It's killed more people, too. What? I don't know. Sorry, I'm not a doctor.
No, you're just a man in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where it's 52 degrees, rain, rainbows, full moon. Anything to report down there?
No, it's nice, bright sunshine though. No weather anomalies happening, but it's very, very, it's good weather.
It is.
I'm liking it.
Wish it were a little warmer heading into a holiday weekend. Folks looking at the screen on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube right now can see that it is 38 in Hayward.
Yeah.
So I could do without that coming into the holiday weekend. But, you know, heading into it just the same. Got the good news that one of our daughters and her family will be coming out for the weekend.
So
it'll be
fun.
Nice to entertain, have a couple little rugrats running around. So we have some good stuff coming up. So it won't be all
the whole weekend won't be spent in my hammock after all. But it's a fair trade to make for a couple little ragamuffins.
I'm sorry, but you're the grandpa. It's your house. If you wanted to spend all the time in the hammock, you get to. You've earned it.
Well, I mean, if the kids are there too, crawling around and flipping it over, you know, that's fine. Break grandpa's arm. I mentioned that only because we'd lived in the house when we moved there. Our daughters were 4 and 6.
Yeah.
And we'd lived there only for a month or two before. And we were so proud to have a hammock hanging between two trees on the lake. And a couple of months into it, Samantha got flipped by a friend in the hammock and broke her arm.
Oh.
So we're always aware of the life-threatening nature of the hammock. But no, it's relaxing.
The killer hammock. Coming to a theater near you.
That's a terrible movie pitch. Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, 38 in Hayward. It's 53 up here in Chippewa Falls. 48 in Park Falls. Wausau's at 48. Green Bay, 55. La Crosse, 52. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 50. Oshkosh, 56. And then 52 in both Madison and Waukesha. We're going to take a brief break from American politics to talk about what's happening in the United Kingdom, where a snap election has been called for the 4th of July, which seems ironic and maybe not the best choice that an unpopular prime minister there could have made. Anyway, how can that be a thing? Well, because by calling a snap election for July 4th, Greg, it means their campaign season lasts 6 weeks.
It's glorious.
6 weeks. How great would that be?
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the day of or like a day before. There's a time limit. No campaigning is allowed. No political ads are allowed. You get to vote, but before that, you get just a nice holiday from the 3.5 week trudge that is European or British elections.
Yeah, such a trudge for those few weeks that they're doing it. And when I saw the bulletin that the prime minister there, an unpopular conservative prime minister, had called it. Remember, he succeeded Liz. What was her name? Liz Truss. Her prime ministership didn't last as long as a head of lettuce.
Yeah, yeah. She's like basically was she one of Trump's press secretaries?
Basically had the same kind of budget plan. Yeah. You know, let's just slash everything anyway. So he's not much more popular. So he comes out to call the snap elections and they make their announcements outside of number 10 Downing Street. It's raining. He is soaked in his suit. And because they come outside and the public can be a little bit closer than in DC.
Yeah.
Protesters are out there and they're blaring music, including a song called Things Can Only Get Better. And so you couldn't even hear him call for snap elections. So it was a disaster for the conservatives over there.
But I mean,
it doesn't mean the win or lose the election, but still it was colorful and it was a nice break from what we've got here.
Rishi Sunak has been nothing but just a dumpster fire since the beginning. And every time he opens his mouth, he's like, I've got a great idea. Do you hate other people? Because I do. And I have a plan that will just totally make me look like a moron. Even my mother-in-law dislikes me.
That seems to be the way it goes. And look, it's not that much different here because I haven't even gotten into the second hour of this program yet, when we're going to have two of the highest setting elected office holders in the state. We're going to have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer are joining Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up at 7:30. And their bookings were prompted in part by Donald Trump saying that he might be open to the idea of states restricting contraception access. You know, on top of everything else Trump has said that's been like racial or misogynistic lately. Yesterday it was all about, you know, immigrants are bringing in contagious diseases. No, it might actually be the anti-vax parade that you started that's allowing in contagious diseases. If we could just have a snap election ourselves and, you know, rid ourselves of this scourge once and for all, that'd be really nice. But we have to slog on through November.
Pat, if we had snap elections in this country, we'd have an election like every 7 days. I don't like them.
You could. Well, here's the thing I like about that system in the UK is at the very most, you have to have an election 5 years later, not 4 years like here, but 5 years. But it almost never happens because either the prime minister in power says, hey, I'm feeling pretty popular, I'm going to call elections now while I'm still popular. Or like this guy is doing now, it's like, oh my God, I'm dropping like a rock, I better call elections now or it's going to be so much worse by the time I get to the 5 year mark, you know. But you have to have like that vote of no confidence or a prime minister who's willing to roll the dice. And I kind of like that, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, you want to get your hopes up. You want to be like, oh my gosh, this could be independence from Rishi Sunak. This would be amazing. And then like the Conservative Party got even, I'm not going to do the accent, got even more seats than usual. Ah, man.
It could, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It could happen because it, much like here, there's going to be political ads and messaging and things are going to be said that need to be fact checked. It's just that it's all going to be in a nice compressed little 6 week time frame.
And with a sweet, really, and a nice, sweet, sweet accent. Just, it's,
yes, by and large.
Yeah.
It depends. You've got the Cockney one and you've got the Scots who I can't understand at all. And it really, you know, I learned that from living in the Cayman Islands of British territory. I got to the point where I could actually tell the difference between British accents, much like weekend in America.
Yeah.
You can tell when people are from Chicago versus Boston or something like that. And I could figure out, I knew right away who was from Liverpool versus who was from London.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting. And in the same way, you know, say Jamaicans versus people from Trinidad,
yeah.
You start to hear the little, you know, the little differences. And it's actually quite cool when you're exposed to a different language that long. So I totally agree with you on things like, you know, an Irish accent, again, say versus Scotland, or Australia versus New Zealand is actually a noticeable difference as well.
That one I can never tell. There's always just that little,
there's a little bit of like in the New Zealand one. Because, well, here's what, I'll tell you what did it for us. Sherry one day, I think she started it, I might have, I don't know, changed the voice on Google Maps.
Yeah.
And so one day we're driving someplace and I'm hearing this smooth guy, the smooth one, turn into the car park over here. And she's like, oh, that's my new boyfriend. So, of course, I had to change my settings to some Irish lass, or I forget if she was from Australia or wherever. And so we were playing around with all the voices just so we could, you know, tweak each other with what are we going to hear next? This is how we entertain ourselves on car rides now.
Hey, you know? Yeah, that's fun. I like it. I'm down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check my phone now.
Now you're going to play with your maps as well?
James Earl Jones.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been, Google Maps or Apple Maps. One of them does that. So that could be really fun. 6:17 now, almost 6:18. Let's check sports here on this Thursday morning. Not that I really want to. The Brewers inexplicably dropped 2 out of 3 in Miami to the lowly Marlins. Basically, it's as if the bats decided to go to the beach. All the Marlins got was a leadoff home run off Freddy Peralta. You know, Freddie shut it down after that, but, you know, the Marlins pitcher gave up nothing, and that was all the Marlins needed for a 1-0 victory. It is the 4th road series in a row that the Brewers have lost the series. The game was completed in an hour and 54 minutes. It was very impressive, and all we needed was 1 or 2 more runs, and we'd have been in good shape. The team is off today on their way to Boston for a series starting tomorrow night. Then they're back home Memorial Day to open up that series against the Chicago Cubs. A lot of headlines to unpack coming up on this Thursday morning, live from Lake Wissota. This is Up North News Radio from Courier Newsroom on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Today's history lesson is coming up in 30 minutes, and it will include, on this day in 2007, Jordan Sparks won season 6 of American Idol. God, I can't believe that 17 years since that already. Where is the time going? The daily newsletter is out from Up North News. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. A bit of a driving theme going in today's newsletter. Christina was on the program about 2 weeks ago, I think, talking about hot doggers, the people who drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and are kind of ambassadors for the company and go all over the country, and they collect all kinds of stories, too. And she got some of those for today's edition of the newsletter, so it'll be in there. A story about drive-ins in Wisconsin that you could start to hit as summertime approaches. And then just about driving overall and being careful out there on the roads because, you know, that Memorial Day to Labor Day stretch of about 100 days or so, you know, those are the 100 most popular for driving. It makes them the 100, you know, deadliest days on the road, and you need to stay safe. So we've got something about that coming up in the newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let me get back up to the headlines here and see what we're going to share this morning before Joe Zepecki gets here coming up at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to start with a bit of, how do we put this, a dishonor roll. You know, basically here are several Republicans who are in the news for a host of different reasons, and all of them things that I don't know that all voters necessarily voted for. We'll start with one who hasn't been elected yet. That would be Republican Senate hopeful Eric Hovde, who said last weekend that a 12 to 14 week abortion ban probably is a reasonable time range. And I'm not being dramatic on the words. That was his exact phrasing. Probably a reasonable time range, 12 to 14 weeks for an abortion ban, which, as we've covered before with actual doctors here on the program, that has no basis in medicine whatsoever. There's, you know, if you're picking 12, 13, 14, whatever it is, you're plucking a number out of the air out of convenience for you to decide when to make things inconvenient for women. And so coupled with what Donald Trump said about being open to the idea of restricting contraception, you'll hear much more about this particular topic coming up a little over an hour from now in our Women Win Wisconsin segment with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Greta Neubauer, the Democratic leader in the Wisconsin State Assembly. Then we have Nikki Haley, who at first said, quite a ways back now, that she would not run for president again if Donald Trump was running again. And so then she changed her mind and said, well, yes, she is going to run because, you know, Trump has done and said all of these bad things. But even though she got in the race with Trump, she wouldn't really take him on, really tried to somehow attract votes without going after Trump. It wasn't working. And so later in the race, she did sharpen her attacks. I mean, she called him unhinged. She talked about being in the room when he would get, you know, weak-kneed around Vladimir Putin. She was racking up more votes. Not enough to necessarily win or wrest away the nomination. But everybody was positioning themselves as the Republican to go to if something were to happen to Trump, if he were to falter, have a health issue, end up in an orange prison jumpsuit, whatever the case might be. And she could have just stayed right there. She suspended her campaign, but she could have continued to advertise herself as the conservative alternative to Trump until yesterday, when she did a media appearance and announced that she is, in fact, going to vote for Donald Trump. Plenty of other people have had, the courage of their convictions, I guess, like a Paul Ryan, like a Mike Pence, to say they won't vote for Trump, but they won't come out and say they'll vote for Biden. They'll probably write their own name in on the ballot. Okay, fine, but at least they publicly said they're not going to vote for Trump. Nikki Haley, the cravenness is right out there saying, nope, I want back into Trump's good graces. And if you're a Nikki Haley voter, just thinking, okay, I hear what she's saying about Trump. I want no part of this. I'm going to go with Nikki Haley. And then you hear this. I mean, what are you thinking? What are you thinking today if you were a Nikki Haley supporter? Are you thinking, okay, yeah, I guess I'll go back with Trump too? I mean, maybe a few are, but I think a few other of our conservative friends and neighbors out there are disappointed and as confused as ever. And then exacerbating that confusion would be our next Republican on the list, and that would be Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford. He was one of those who took seriously the Republican demands to do something about the border and about immigration reform, and the only way you're going to get that done is with a bipartisan bill, because Democrats control the Senate, Republicans the House. So he worked with others. He worked with Democrats, Republicans, and independents, and crafted a bill the likes of which we have not seen in nearly a generation in terms of the way that Democrats and Republicans compromised, Democrats compromising more than Republicans, quite frankly, to get a border security bill written, to get an immigration reform bill written. And then Donald Trump said, no, you have to scrap that. I'm running on a platform of, I hate immigrants. They're dirty. They bring diseases, et cetera, et cetera. And Republicans just caved and said, yeah, we're not for this bill that we worked on. And today, Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is going to bring up the bill for a vote and say, you know, this is still the best bill we're going to get before we get too deep into election season. Here's a chance. We're going to bring the bill up for a vote. What do you say we actually solve a problem? And Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford, who's already been censured by his own Oklahoma Republican Party, so he's got nothing to lose, said he plans to vote against his own bill today when it comes up in the Senate. So, of course, what is somebody supposed to think about a party that is the rare times that they're willing to fight for a positive change in policy can so easily turn around on themselves? I mean, now you're left with a party that is stuck with stunts, which takes us to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who thought he was going to be president. People saw him as the alternative to Trump. He announced yesterday Freedom Summer in Florida. Here's what freedom means to Ron DeSantis. A new state edict that cities with bridges that like to light up their bridges with colorful lights for various occasions can only use the colors red, white, and blue. So you won't be able to use, you know, purple for this cause or pink for this cause or rainbows or anything like that. Red, white, and blue only, because freedom. And that's today's dishonor roll for folks that are wondering on the right side of the spectrum, where do we go from here? Joseph Pecky's next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If I say the phrase drone swarms, you might conjure up an image of a science fiction movie or maybe just a whole lot of insects. In reality, it could be your new best friend. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Drone swarms are just one new phrase farmers are becoming accustomed to in Wisconsin. Preston Rice is the co-founder of Madison Area Drone Service. They specialize in agriculture drones, and he explains what a drone swarm is.
As far as what swarms are, I mean, really, it's just like it sounds like. We want to be able to operate more than one aircraft. And we can do that already, but we need to have that ability with one single pilot. So the limitations that we see, especially in the agriculture side of things, is the capacity and the size of that tank, right, can be multiplied if we can operate more than one aircraft at one time. So getting the FAA to kind of give us the approval in that direction is really going to help us expand the ability to make one person, one pilot, much more effective with the equipment that they have.
Preston Rice, co-founder of Madison Area Drone Service, he said he's getting a lot of inquiries right now specifically to apply fungicide on wheat fields, drones being about the only good option right now. Markets in overnight electronic trade, not looking so good. Numbers are next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Yesterday, barrel cheese dropped 3 cents to $2.03. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half, $1.84. Double A butter stood still. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning down another 15 cents at $19.80. December corn's down two at $4.82. November beans down a penny at $12.17. July wheat this morning down eight, $6.84 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the markets stand rolling into a Thursday trade session. As always, more news available anytime you need it, MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 77 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear this evening. Scattered thunderstorms after midnight. Our low 56 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. A little breezy, too. Our high tomorrow near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Mm.
I'm going to declare that right now at 6:34 on a Thursday, is the official start of Memorial Day weekend, because Joseph Pecky is here, and that's how we kick off our weekend on a high note, or at least a smile.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, if only I'd have brought a grill with me, or if the pontoon were operating, but we will do this last little bit of homework, and then we're going to go relax, as everybody Good. Should. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have any big plans? Or
mine is a friend of ours.
Literally involving that hammock. So,
a friend of ours, who will remain nameless, is a friend of yours and mine, mm-hmm. is coming to town from Washington, D.C. So, we're going to hang out with her all weekend. It's going to be great.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great. Good. Hope you enjoy it. That's just part of Americana. We honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And, God bless America. There's a lot to love about this country. But, Joe, this week, I am so jealous of the United Kingdom, because under that system, which I lived under for 3 years once and grew to love it, that the longest a government can stay in power without calling elections is 5 years. But they quite frequently will call for elections sooner if they think they can gain an advantage or want to ward off further deterioration. And the British Prime Minister yesterday called snap elections 6 months earlier than they'd otherwise be required. And the upshot of that is, in all of the United Kingdom right now, the election season starts right now, and it runs for 6 weeks, and Amazing. That's it. Can you Amazing. Imagine? Can you imagine?
Oh, I can't imagine, and boy, am I jealous. I'm going to use the occasion of Memorial Day weekend, which is now underway, to find some common ground and tell you that there is a thing that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and I agree wholeheartedly on, and I think Pat Kreitlow is in on this as well, which is Ron Johnson says anytime you ask him anything about campaigns, that our campaigns are too long, and on that, we can agree.
Oh, of course. I mean, we all agree. And it's not even enough now to say that presidential campaigns last for, 3 years and 364 days, because frankly, we now start talking about the next election even before that. And I'm going to make clear that part of that comes from Democrats
who
after Barack Obama's, convention speech in 2004, people couldn't wait for that guy to run, and he hadn't even been elected to the U.S. Senate yet. We get excited about candidates, or we look too far ahead. And look, especially this year, we got these two old people at the top of the ticket. So why wouldn't people get excited? But oh God, Joe, 6 weeks.
6 weeks. That, wow. Yeah. Ours is the best system of government, or the worst system of government, except for all the other ones.
The worst one until you've tried all of the others. That's exactly it. And that's where we come back to reality and deal with the one that we're dealing with right here. Now, we're not going to poke any more fun at Eric Hovde for, ingesting parasites and eating armadillo and everything else that we talked about yesterday.
I'm just glad he's feeling better. Truly. Yeah,
exactly. And like we said, there's still a lot more research to be done on parasites and MS, but hey, anything that is a positive step is a good step, no matter your party affiliation.
A better story and outcome than the worm that ate part of Bob Kay's brain. For sure.
I will so go with you on that one. Yes. But elsewhere on the Hovde front, he claimed this past weekend, and the Wisconsin Public Radio headline says it pretty well. Senate hopeful Eric Hovde says 12 to 14 week abortion ban, quote, probably a reasonable time range. I mean, nothing screams Republican man than a headline that says, 12, 14, a ban on what you can do with your body. Sounds reasonable. I mean, I can just feel Dr. Lyerly and my wife and every other OB just cringing that this is somebody who wants to be in a position to make a decision like this.
Yeah, and it's just not complicated at all. Eric Hovde wants to ban abortion. That's it.
That's it.
Donald Trump this week got in hot water talking about allowing states to ban forms of birth control. Donald Trump coming out against condoms and being like, if states want to do that, that's okay. I did not have that on my bingo card this year.
Well, but like I said yesterday, he tried to walk it back right away. Maybe he misheard the question or whatever. But much like all those justices who said Roe v. Wade was settled law, you know, there's no trust there. And so,
correct.
Would Donald Trump go along with states that actually wanted to ban contraception? Of course he would.
That's his position.
And so would Eric. And honestly, so would Eric Hovde. I could totally see it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's great, but it's the bill that's in front of us right now, you know?
All of them demonstrate that they just don't get it, and we're probably going to have to kick their butts in an election another time or two or 12 for them to get it. And women ought to be able to make their own healthcare decisions, period. And what Republicans and the Supreme Court with their conservative jurists have done, have got us to a point where even women, men who consider themselves 100% pro-life say, this is crazy. If a woman is miscarrying and her life is in danger or it's a non-viable pregnancy, you gotta get out of there. I mean, like, it's just, it's nuts. And to anybody who is feeling less than enthused about the choice in this election, we've seen a lot of talk this week reminding us that a 6-3 Supreme Court includes multiple conservative jurists who are over the age of 70.
Mm-hmm.
If Donald Trump wins the presidential election, he will nominate and find a way to get on the Supreme Court jurists in their 40s. And that will lock in a conservative majority, which means that Roe will not be restored for the next 50 years. And I'm sorry if you don't like the fact that Joe Biden is a little older than your preferred candidate. But when you think about the choice that way and the stakes, not just for the next 4 years, but for the next 40 or 50, I think people will understand and see the contrast and see what's at stake and ultimately, I believe, do the right thing, just as they have every election since the Dobbs decision.
And by the way, when you say conservative majority and people say, well, OK, they got the majority, no, but they don't. Well, here's what they don't have: the majority of American values, because
and it's not just the conservative jurists who are old. Sonia Sotomayor, one of the justices that's part of the liberal bloc, is getting up there age-wise and has diabetes. She may be, like, if she had to resign for health reasons and a second Trump term locked in a 7-2 Supreme Court majority, this country would be unrecognizable before that 7-2 majority was through.
Couldn't agree more. Meanwhile, Senator Tammy Baldwin, of whom Hovde is the likely Republican opponent, held a news conference in D.C. Earlier this week to talk about how bans or restrictions on abortion in the states have led to a reduction of graduates in medical schools going to residency programs in those states that have bans compared to abortions where they remain legal. And, you know, I know that in some ways we'd say she's kind of stating the obvious, but I don't think you can ring that alarm bell enough about what any further restrictions on abortion in Wisconsin would do to healthcare statewide and especially in currently underserved areas.
Yes, there are cascading downstream impacts of this that are becoming more and more acute with every passing day. Whether it's the next generation of medical providers, whether it is the economic impact of growing families don't want to live in states where there are not healthcare options available in the case of an emergency. You know, thankfully the Wisconsin law has been clarified, but even that period of time where it was a mess and we were living under the 1849 law had an impact. And this is why we need to restore Roe. It is what a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president would do. And that's just it. It's just not any more complicated than that.
That's right. The Senator Baldwin, meanwhile, also released her campaign's fifth TV ad. This one was seniors.
It's a great one.
Talking about high insulin costs and applauding Tammy Baldwin for, you know, helping cap insulin costs at $35 a month for those on Medicare, at least, he said, leaving wiggle room for Joe to say, we could be doing so much more.
We could be doing so much more. And see, a lot of the drug companies now, so what the law that Tammy Baldwin wrote and supported and Joe Biden signed into law does is it caps the cost of monthly insulin at $35 for seniors on Medicare. So if you're 65 and up, type 1 or type 2 diabetic, and you need insulin and supplies, you're not going to be paying any more than $35 a month. That is real savings, down from hundreds of dollars a month. And it has already had the effect of reducing the cost of insulin for those who aren't on Medicare, because the drug makers realized this is the way it's going. They saw the writing on the wall. And now a lot of them are offering that $35 cap, even if you're not on Medicare. That is common sense. It is good for people's pocketbooks. This is a patent for insulin, was sold for a dollar like 100 years ago. I think we've heard this story before on this show. Mm-hmm. And here's what I want people to understand. It is not just, oh, this was a good idea and Congress got it done and now we don't have to think about it anymore. Not a single Republican in Congress voted for it. Not one. None of them. And Republicans in Congress right now are talking about rolling back the law that made that $35 a month cap possible, the Inflation Reduction Act. Exactly. So there are real stakes here, and one of them is the cost of insulin for not just seniors, but for every diabetic in this country. Once again, the choice is very clear.
Back to Eric Hovde for a moment. There was a press event yesterday by the Democratic Party and by End Citizen Action, Let America Vote. And the group wanted to call attention to the fact that Eric Hovde asked for an extension on filing some of his financial disclosure forms, which, by the way, to be fair, some Democratic candidates have done in the past as well. But the timing is just rather awkward for this. And I think that's all I can say to describe just awkward is that, you know, by getting an extension, by the time he has to turn those in, people will already be voting in the primary. Now, it's not that he has an opponent right now, but it just makes you wonder what might be on those finances that, you know, would want him to get an extension once the voting gets started.
It stinks. And the fair question is, what is in those financial holdings that he doesn't want the voters to know about? What is he trying to delay as much as possible? And I got to be honest, I am so sick and damn tired of this ability of candidates to avoid basic transparency.
Right.
But what have we learned in the age of Trump? Delay, delay, delay. Republicans don't think that you have a right to know where they make their money, how they make their money, where they might be leveraged by special interests, by wealthy donors, by foreign adversaries. They don't think you deserve to know. They have made a mockery of our campaign finance laws. It is disgusting. And if we get a trifecta, one of the things that Democrats ought to push for is no more of this crap. If you can't meet the financial disclosure deadlines, you can't be a candidate. There are rules and things you have to do to be a candidate in this country, and this ought to be one of them. Shame on Eric Hovde. I don't, like, you're trying to tell me this guy doesn't spend time counting all his money? He knows how much money he's got. Show us how much you got. Show us how you made it. Show us what offshore bank accounts it's sitting in so we know what we're voting for and what we might get.
I mean, had he declared, you know, before the end of 2023, we'd be able to look back on his 2023 finances. But of course, now we can't do that either. So I was going to say what you just said. The next time around, when some reform-minded people get in, take care of stock trading by members of Congress, just run on a reform platform, Democrats. Yeah. Run on a reform platform. People say, oh, that doesn't affect my life. People want this stuff cleaned up. They absolutely do. And on that very boisterous note, we start our
weekend. Yeah, you got me all fired up heading into the weekend, man.
Heading to well, now I got reason to go relax in the hammock when this is all done. Joe Zepecki, as always, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Talk to you next week.
Today's history lesson is coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Pacific Air, 1260 AM WLAK. What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Todd Alba Show.
It's a fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Don't want your love anymore.
Today's history lesson starts with the Everly Brothers. Phil and Don began a 5-week run at the number one spot on the charts on this day, May 23rd, 1960. It was also the first song ever to simultaneously be number one in the U.S. and the U.K. The title is... Yeah, Kathy's Clown.
That was impressive.
Thanks. I once played a disc jockey on the radio. Birthdays today. I don't like to say this like, oh, somebody's still alive. But, you know, sometimes it just genuinely surprises you. Joan Collins, still with us at age 91. Who's still ready for a little dine?
Yeah, I was going to say, still slapping Donna Carrington.
That woman has had a career.
Yeah.
I mean, from her very early days, you know, kind of in early movies and TV, playing, you know, kind of the young, I don't want to say sex kitten, but that's probably not a politically accurate thing to say anymore. But that's how she was casted.
I mean, I'm sorry, that gets that's good.
Yeah, thank you. But then again, plenty of actresses will play roles like that, and then eventually never see them again. What I'm trying to say is Joan Collins matured and grew into these roles where she could play this role as, you know, that she played on Dynasty as somebody, you know, in her 50s, 60s, and still, you know, being able to bring some sultriness to the role, but also just that whole badness, as Judge Smales would say, to Danny Noonan. Just to be downright evil at times.
Yeah.
And she was to Dynasty what the Beth character is to Yellowstone today. It takes some real talent to play that role.
Is that the daughter? The one who's just always upset and miserable?
Oh, and will make your life a living hell? Yes.
I gotta be honest. She is one of the reasons why I stopped watching that show.
I totally believe it.
Is anyone on this show happy ever?
No,
I mean, I'm not even asking for like... I'm just asking for one episode where they're just in the fields working one day and just...
But they do show the happy stuff because that foreshadows, oh, here's the next person. Something really awful is about to happen.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy any light moments in that show.
No, I dare you to find five.
Well, I dare you to find one that isn't followed up immediately by, that person got eaten by a bear. You know,
or by the bear, the TV show, which is a really weird crossover.
Drew Carey is 66 years old today. He's still doing The Price is Right, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Right? And if you want to see some amazing footage, just look up Drew Carey after midnight. Taylor Tomlinson, who hosts the show now, she knew what she was doing, but she's like, I heard you went to go see a concert. And he, like, gets out from behind his podium and starts talking for, like, a long time about seeing Fish at the Sphere in Las Vegas. He was, like, mesmerized by them. Also, during the strike, he had a standing tab at a restaurant by the strike area, and he paid for every striker's lunch every single day.
Absolutely. Now, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his success on Price is Right. I'm just going to say about him what I've said about Steve Martin and others, that you really kind of miss those early roles. I loved the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, yeah.
When it first came out. And I loved his early roles, like on TV commercials. He did a lot of those, you know, kind of playing an everyman type of person. And like I said, I'm happy for him, but I do miss that old show.
Yeah.
Another birthday today, Jewel, the singer, is 50 years old today. Everybody slowed down. Who's listening in their car? They lit off the gas a little bit. Just kind of, okay. Listening to Jewel.
A lot of people said this together. They go, oh man, this song. Love a song about breakfast.
Yes. Let's move on then, shall we?
Yeah.
It was on this day in 1969 that The Who released their fourth album. The album was called Tommy. And it was something they had to explain to people. This is called a rock opera. And it was about a deaf, dumb, and blind kid who sure plays a mean pinball, like they sing it right here.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all.
Again, that was Tommy. Came out this day in 1969, so 55 years ago today.
Nice.
On this day in 1960, I mentioned earlier that was the day that Kathy's Clown was on top of the charts. This is one of those, it's not a happy story, it's kind of a wow story. There had been an earthquake in Chile the previous day in South America. It caused a tsunami that a day later, on this day in 1960, it killed more than 60 people in Hawaii. Is how powerful that earthquake and the resulting tsunami was. On this day in 1970, Paul McCartney, after the breakup of the Beatles, had his first solo album, McCartney, top the album chart, even though he hadn't released any singles from the album yet. So many people just wanted to listen to him post-Beatles and keep listening to his music, and this was the one single folks will remember off that album. The inventor of the Moog synthesizer, Dr. Robert Moog, was born this day in 1934. Aaron Zomers was producing this show a year or two ago, and he put this one on the list. And I then just turned the show over to him for the next, you know, 3.5 minutes for a lesson on synthesizers. He loves to talk about this stuff.
I know what to talk to Aaron about now. did he tell you about the ever battle between whether it's called a Moog or a Moog?
Yes, and that was part. As soon as I said Moog, I'm like, oh, is he gonna? He's gonna correct me, isn't he? But Aaron's not here right now. So,
Aaron, Moog, if you can
Moog,
hear
Moog,
us,
Moog, Moog,
call
Moog,
in.
Moog, Moog.
Aaron, if you're hearing, call in.
Let's see. The number one album on this day in 1992 was by Chris Cross. Totally crossed out. The Sister Sledge song "We Are Family" went platinum on this day in 1979. See, I mentioned that 2007 on this day, Jordan Sparks won season 6 of American Idol. And then finally, one more. I was just talking about this song yesterday by the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks. On this day in 2006, they released their 7th album, Taking the Long Way, and it was known for this single. Which lets me tell you that coming up in the next hour, Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good includes Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and State Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer. We'll also have Assembly candidate Nick Butler. We'll talk about Top Chef with Luke Mathers and more coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Matt Rothschild will be sitting in the hot seat. He's got a couple of special guest lineups, so you're not going to want to miss it. And I'll see you Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.